News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're starting hour two of the El Paso History Show like we pretty much always do, with an El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. And her story today is about how, starting in 1881, the railroads changed El Paso forever.
Trains bring progress and lawlessness. The arrival of the railroads in 1881 was the most significant event in El Paso history. It transformed a sleepy adobe village into a boomtown that also became known as Sin City or Six Shooter Capital, where saloons, gambling establishments, and houses of ill repute lined the streets. City fathers, exploiting the town's evil reputation by permitting vice for a price, eventually realized that El Paso's future was in jeopardy if vice and crime were not brought under control. By 1890, the reform-minded citizens campaigned to curb El Paso's vice and lawlessness, and by 1905, most houses of gambling and prostitution were closed. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online and I found you in a train.
Yes, I am. I'm
there right. You were.
You're standing on the back of a train saying, adios.
Yeehaw, so. Going down the tracks here.
Well, doing my dolly imitation.
Well, that, of course, is the El Paso County Historical Commission that you're working with there to make those things happen. And they are always involved in interesting stuff. They got a meeting coming up.
Everything
do they not?
Historical, let's put it that way.
Hysterically and historical. But they've got a meeting. Their meeting coming up. Tell us
That's
about
right.
That.
They've got a meeting that is going to be not this date. It's going to be the
oh,
second week.
Oh, we moved another month. We moved to December, didn't we?
Yes, we're in December, which would be, I think
it's the second Monday in December. Pick a number.
Yeah, take any number.
Sorry
but
about
it's
that,
a,
Chief.
It's always the second Monday of every month.
We got to check each other on
that's
this.
That's right. Yeah. Every second Monday of the month, and that's going to be at the El Paso del Norte, United Bank of El Paso del Norte at downtown at Main and Kansas Street.
Call Bernie.
And the meeting's always at 11:30 a.m., and you can call Bernie at 915-581-7920 and get involved.
There you go. All right. Trains, we were talking about with the lawyers last hour, a couple of things. That law firm, Kemp Smith, had been representing the Southern Pacific, which is why they showed up in El Paso. Well, the trains in El Paso have always been, to me, an incredibly interesting thing. And it's not just the fact that they're up and running and exciting, but they're a model train people.
Well, the country grew
they
up on
are
trains.
Model I mean, train people yeah. who actually may do a better job of getting their railroads together. You never can
it's
tell.
True.
But they don't have the unions to work with.
Yeah.
That's a different matter. All right, we got the train guys in here this morning. And it's interesting because this is the Railroad Model and Historical Association of El Paso. Henry Vasquez, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Welcome
How's
here.
How's it going?
And we're going to talk to Bob Prinsky. Just say hi.
Hi there.
Bob's
here.
Bob.
But Bob, you're the guy that arranges these things.
Yes.
Thank you for doing that. And these are the trainmen over here. And I see a little guy with a signal sitting on. He's about 3 foot tall. No, 3 inches tall. Little tiny guy sitting here on top of the desk.
And a key.
And what is that?
It's a wind-up key that's for one of the trains.
That's a Bavarian imported train set from the early 1900s.
It's really cool.
Oh, I see you actually wind it up.
Yes, sir.
And you have what size track is that?
That's about O gauge, O scale.
Tiny.
How do they do that? I mean, H-O-N, what? How does that make any
yeah,
sense?
What was the explanation
in
on
millimeters
gauge?
Or whatever you're doing?
Well, the O scale is a gauge that was about half of what it, well... Here's the thing. They start off with different sizes of trains, and then somebody said, "Well, you know what? Let's go with a standard scale." And then the standard scale was pretty big, and they said, "Well, we need to be a little bit smaller, so we'll have also O gauge for those folks." And then we went later on in the 30s and 40s, they went to something called HO, which was meant half of O scale.
Oh, that's what as a kid I had that. I had no idea what that meant.
And
for HO means half?
Half of O scale. And then there was, to throw some confusion in that, they had a scale which was also HO, but it was called double O. Don't ask me why.
I don't know that one.
Two O's, two halves make a whole. I don't know what the
logic.
I don't
know that one.
But, yeah.
All right. Henry Vasquez, were you, as a child, enamored with trains? And did you get your hands on some little trains?
Yes. My father was a postman, and he actually, as a child, he grew up watching kids play with big Lionel trains. But being on limited income, he bought me, and back in the 60s, everything was going to plastic, so he bought me an inexpensive Marx train set when I was 2 years old. I had a ball with that little train.
Was it kind of electric, or did you
wind
it up?
It was electric, I used to have to, my big sister would have to set it up for me, and she was the only one that was allowed to plug it in. Yeah.
Interesting rule. Bob, you did the same thing, I'm guessing. You had trains as a kid?
I had trains. My parents gave me a set when I was about 13 years old.
Well, trains have just turned out to be something that was just fun to do. And it seemed like when Christmas came around, people thought trains. I mean, is that about right?
Yes. So you got to understand, railroad culture, or actually culture itself, American culture, is a reflection of whatever's going on in the world. Railroads, you know, railroads were expanding in the 1900s. As you know, they came to El Paso here in 1881. So when all this is going on, the toys, they start to reflect culture. You have the wind-ups. And in the early days before 1900, everything was imported. And that's why I have a European set, because this is the granddaddy of all American toy trains. The trains, the wind-up trains, were basically your Nintendos and your PlayStation 4s and your Xbox Ones. This is what a kid got for Christmas.
Instead of an Xbox in the old days, they got a train.
So then, you know, the kid received this at Christmas, and guess what? It was placed around the Christmas tree. So it became a tradition. But it's something that, it's a reflection of our days, of our culture.
That's interesting. He's right, because we always put our Christmas tree, we put our train around the base of our Christmas tree.
Well,
always
I did.
Have.
And these were a novelty, and they were expensive. Like I said, they were imported in the early days, in the 1880s, 1890s. The first tin trains that came from Europe, especially Germany. And this is a Bavarian set. This is a prime example of what came from Europe.
Yeah, are you getting a picture of this by any chance?
Yeah, I'm putting it up now.
The American... the early American toy manufacturers, which were Ives and later on Lionel, they looked upon that as, hey, you know what? This is an untapped market. However, these companies would not flourish until World War I, when all German imports and products, to include toy trains, were basically banned.
Yeah, makes sense.
They were banned.
They were banned.
What, the World War One?
Yes, in World
War
One.
Because of the metal, lack of metal, or
no? They were banned because why are we buying from our enemies?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Don't support those guys.
Don't support those guys. But one of the companies that came out of that right after World War One was the German company was KBN, but they had a name called Fandor in Germany, and what they did is they reversed Fandor and created a pseudonym, Dorfin.
Oh.
And they continued their train line, and Americans are buying Dorfin because it sounded American, but it was a German-based company.
Marketing, yes.
Right after
marketing.
Right after World War One.
Okay, you got all these interesting little trains sitting here on the radio station desk. There's no track here. Where do we find track?
Usually, you know, even remanufactured track can be found online.
You have an open house.
Yes.
Is there track?
There's a little track.
Tell us about that.
There's a little track. Oh, every Sunday during the month of November from 1 to 5?
No, noon to 5.
Noon to 5. Noon to 5.
Just Sunday, not today.
Just Sunday.
Okay.
We're down off of Vaughn Street. It's a little street off of... Ascarity Road, which intersects Alameda.
Give the address. People Google it nowadays. What's the address on Vaughn Road? You got that handy?
Okay. It's 6335 Vaughn.
V-A-U-G-H-N. And do that, and you'll get there with your computer.
Is there a phone number they could call you also?
somebody sell? You want to give one out?
You could give out the president's, which is 751-6213.
That number's ringing now.
And who's that president?
What's that?
Who's the president?
Gary Walford.
Hey, Gary, look out. Here's some calls coming your way.
But no, it's an interesting thing.
Putting your name and number out there.
But the thing is, trains have always fascinated me. Now, as a little girl, were you fascinated by trains, Mama Son?
Well, I had two older brothers. And
so I
was a tomboy. So, yeah, I was like trains and everything. And trains, to me, also, the model trains reflected our history in growth and how we progressed across the United States, the growth of the country, and the different train models as they came along as models. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it really told it all.
I mean, last time we had we had a Zephyr here, which was a streamlined train that reflected the high-speed passenger trains of the 1930s of the Depression era.
High speed in the 1930s? How high speed was that?
Oh.
60 miles an hour?
Yeah, you're looking at over 60 miles an hour.
Hey.
Yeah. So, like this big train that you're looking at here, this is actually standard scale. This is one of the biggest scales. This is when everybody said, hey, we're going to go one size. That's standard. Pretty heavy, sir. Oh, a lot of die-cast tin.
Die cast.
There's tin, nickel, brass, a lot of copper. Precious metals. Yeah, copper.
Listen to that thing run.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, now...
Does that actually run?
What year is that supposed to represent?
The manufacturing year for that particular engine is probably between 1928 and 1936. It is a reflection of the trains that were in America, what's called the short line train. These were small engines that pulled a few passenger cars and ran to, from one little city to another. Yeah. They didn't go across the country.
I have a question. Is that a 240?
Yes, sir.
Ah, guessed it right. Look at that.
Yes, sir.
And that means that...
And you win.
That's the set of... Well, I got nothing now. But that's the number of wheels they have.
Yes, yes.
Four of the main ones, two in the front.
Right.
And O means they don't have any little ones in the back.
They don't have any in the back, right.
Ah, I got this
right.
I'm getting better at this. 240.
The mystery's been solved.
So, Lionel... when he first started making trains, they didn't look like this. They looked more like the electric trains that ran in the subways in New York City because that's where the industry started. That's where his markets were. But as his manufacturing base expanded, as his marketing base expanded across the country, then the trains needed to reflect what everybody else was seeing. So he had to go into the locomotives.
Wait a minute.
There
was a guy named Lionel?
Yeah.
Yes, Cohen.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea what that meant. Yeah. Look at all this history I'm getting. I now understand my childhood better.
See?
Not much, but a little bit. Interesting history of the railroads in El Paso.
Actually, Cohen, where he got his money to start his train company, he built a detonating device for the mines that the U.S. Navy had. He had a background in engineering, and he was playing around with some magnesium and stuff and discovered, hey, you know what? This is like a fuse. And he sold this to the government. This is in the early 1900s. And he made a lot of money.
Magnesium continues to burn underwater, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why the Navy liked it.
Yes, right.
And
during this famous last words, hold my beer, watch this.
During World War II, Lionel and some of the other toy companies, what they did is they went into manufacturing equipment for the military. For example, Lionel made the compasses for the ships, for the navigation systems of the ships. Marx and also Lionel made small electric motors. Like, okay, I didn't know that a battleship had windshield wipers, on the bridge, right?
Makes sense when you think about it, yeah.
So all these small motors and things were built by American toy companies.
Yeah, because there was no market per se, because the middle all had to go to the war effort.
Exactly. By 1941, there was no toy manufacturing in the United States.
That's Henry Vasquez. He's in here with Bob Prinsky. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to take a break. Trains are interesting. We got a lot more to talk about because we're going to ask you guys also to help explain how El Paso was built out with railroads, because you model guys know that stuff.
Right.
See? Here we go. All right, trivia, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Go for it.
The Bataan Memorial Trainway does what in El Paso?
Oh, now, see, we didn't even talk about that.
I know, but they got to know that
Bob
one.
Bob Prinsky knows that one. But what the question again is?
The Bataan Memorial Trainway does what in El Paso?
Well, I guess you have to question before there was a trainway what was going on. And when the trainway showed up, what did that do for El Paso? I know the guy who wrote that question, so I have to explain what he was thinking. I know him personally. So anyway, there you go. And we're going to win some more stuff.
Yeah, we've got $20 in gift certificates from Pepe's New Mexican Food in Canutillo, or El Paso Gold DVD. And we have left, we have Legends of El Paso's Mountain, MacGuffin Home, El Paso Smelter, Tom Lee's El Paso, Gunfights of the Old West, Ghost Stories El Paso, Volume 2, 3, or 4. So you got some choices there today.
And
so
another one, we don't have it with us, but one I had fun with this morning on the radio. That was a whole bunch of El Paso's Historic Sites and Markers.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't listened to my own DVD for 10 years. Like, hey, that's a pretty good DVD.
Yeah, who did that? Gee, that was pretty cool. Walk around patting yourself on the back.
Give me one of those. All right. Call us up and win this prize.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Did you know that identity theft goes beyond what you can see on a credit report and what your bank can alert you to? Identity thieves can open new accounts, rent or buy properties, drain your 401k, and even file fake tax returns, all in your name. And because identity theft goes beyond what you'd expect, LifeLock does more than credit monitoring to help protect your identity. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a whole range of identity threats. And if there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you can feel beyond good knowing someone is looking out for you. Join now and get 60 days risk-free plus 15% off when you use promo code SALE15 at LifeLock.com. That's 15% off just for using promo code SALE15. Offer ends December 31st. LifeLock.
Oh, it just doesn't matter how many sit-ups I do. My belly just won't go away.
Are you sure you're not just bloated?
Bloated?
Yeah, some people with big bellies actually aren't fat. They're just bloated.
Really?
Like me, I totally used to be plagued by pot belly until I got my free trial of Nubiotics. It's like this natural new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. You just have to decrease use if your belly flattening results are too dramatic.
So it works?
Oh, yeah. Turns out I wasn't fat, just bloated. My belly flattened and continues to get flatter. So, yeah, you're gonna love it. And actually, I think they're even still giving away free trials.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Find out with a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving it away for free. 1-800-900-1624. That's 1-800-900-1624. 1-800-900-1624.
When buying a thermometer, trust over 50 published studies supporting the accuracy of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Pick one up at Toys R Us and Babies R Us or other fine retailers today.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Racing to get home may get you there a bit quicker, but it comes at a cost. It's going to take you longer to stop. A whole lot longer. Braking distances increase rapidly when you exceed posted limits. Failure to control speed is a leading cause of crashes in Texas. So don't hurry when you're behind the wheel. Be safe. Drive smart. This message sponsored by the Texas Department of Transportation.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we have a trivia person on the phone here. Maybe another one will call in, 544-5876. We have two questions, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We'll get to those
Here's
in a second.
Here's the first one.
We got to tell people stuff first, though. You ready?
That's right.
Okay, first we tell you who's coming in next week. And here it is, though, November 25th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We do have a live show. What were the weapons that settled the West? And I mean from the time of Oñate to now. Uh-huh. Guns were a part of life in the westward expansion of America. And we talk with Rod Linkus, El Paso County Historical Commission, and Scott Drake, He owns Drake Fine Sporting Arms in El Paso. And we're also going to take a look at the Mexican Revolution weapons going on there. December 3rd, Bogafonom Holiday Celebration. They're coming in to talk about that first hour. Second hour, John Mitta. We're going to ask him to make up some good stories. He always
does. He doesn't have to make them up.
That's
He's
true.
Got them all.
He came in and once said, I just got through selling cocaine. What? Well, that was the name of his horse.
That's right.
So anyway, that was kind of weird.
And he has a 10-gallon hat full of them.
Yeah. And now we got December 10th coming in, Bob Bozell. Tell us who he is.
Bob Bozell is the CEO and publisher and editor of True West Magazine, which is the magazine to go to for True West or Old West history. And the interesting side to that also is one of the people that are involved as a publisher used to be in El Paso, Robert McCubbins of the El Paso Natural Gas Company.
I would think that they have quite a few people reading their magazine in this town.
And Bob knows, he knows a lot of history on El Paso, and he used to be he was very good friends with Leon Metz, so he's been on he's the go-to for all kinds of Old West history. You'll see him on the History Channel, all over the place.
He's just a neat guy. He also used to do a morning radio show back in his history.
Yes.
So he knows how to do this.
Yeah, but he got so wrapped up in the magazine he didn't have time. So he's always out speaking. In fact, he's coming to El Paso next year for the El Paso County Historical Commission's ball that they're going to have.
Gala, the biggie.
Gala, yes, and he will be the guest speaker. So
that's October 7th, by the way.
That's right.
Okay, second hour of that day on the 10th, we're going to have a UTEP History Day. Well, they do a whole thing, like you do a science fair exhibit, and you make up a science fair thing. They're doing that now, have been doing it for quite a while, on El Paso history.
Yay.
And the kids come in with their projects. Dr. Martin from UTEP will be here. And also Rod Link is coming back for the Historical Commission. And I mentioned the Historical Commission because these are the guys who get involved in all kinds of stuff. And so Rod's actually coming in twice in the next month on two different subjects. That is always fun to do. Okay, we have a caller on the phone. We have, is this Edward? Is this you?
I'm me.
You are you. All right, Edward, you ready for this? Because here comes Melissa with a question. You ready, Melissa?
Okay, the question is, the Bataan Memorial Trainway does what in El Paso?
I've got a wild guess. I'll bet you it's the three train tracks that goes under downtown.
That is what it's called.
I think so. It's just basically it allows downtown.
I'm sorry about the highly technical explanation.
Actually, it worked well for us.
We understood it.
It allows downtown to be train free.
That's the whole point. Back in the day, Bob, were you here in the day when the trains cut El Paso in half?
I was stopped by the trains on all the streets going north and south.
Well, explain to people, because the trains used to go right down Main Street. Literally in the street. And when the train showed up and parked, because the station was there, you trying to get by with your car was like tough.
That's right.
About 90 minutes, 2 hours.
I don't remember waiting that long, but I remember waiting.
But they had a number of tracks, and if one was cleared, maybe the other one wasn't.
That's true.
Oh, my God. Edmund, did you live through that, Edward?
No. We didn't get here till 59.
Oh, you just missed it.
I'm a mere young man of 61, so I don't remember that.
You baby.
I have a feeling you're not.
But I remember when we did window shopping downtown. But
did you ever buy any?
Yeah. My dad bought me one back in the 60s. But we lived in a small trailer, and I knew mean trailer, 10x45. So I couldn't set it up very often, but I just loved it when I did.
Oh, the train set you could buy back in the day was for $8. I bought one. It was so cool.
It was about 12. It was all the way up to probably about 10 or 11.
Yeah.
It was great.
I sold it
to a guy who appreciated it. He had room. He put switches on it and all kinds of neat stuff.
I bought mine in the White House Department Store basement. How about you? You don't remember. That's okay. All right.
I think it was the Popular.
You know what? Here's another question for you. We have a second question. No one else is calling.
You want to try for it?
Yeah, give him the second. Since you guessed real good on the first one, dude, you are going to have to guess real good.
Well, listening to your show, I enjoyed listening to part of last week's show, and that was great. Too bad that the city manager didn't seem to listen.
Well, hey, by the way, if you want to hear some of our previous shows, they are online at ephistory.com. Last week's is already up there. Okay, second question. Ready for this?
When did the Bataan Memorial Trainway open?
Ah, there you go. See, now you're going to guess on this one, too, right?
Probably about 47, I'm not sure.
We would have given it to you, but
close,
you missed.
But not.
Go ahead, tell
them
the answer. No, nobody's calling.
It opened August 21st, 1950.
Big time, a long time.
So it probably started about then.
Yeah. Well, it was weird, but the city was cut in half every time a train showed up.
Well, that Yeah. A lot of cities are like that.
Yeah, but they fixed it. They sunk the train thing. And all right, enough of all this. Take a prize here.
Now, do you want the $20 gift certificate for food for the Pepe's in Caniteo?
Oh, that'll be great.
We have DVDs.
Well, you got to go out there and try this. Did you ever eat at Old Griggs?
No, I passed by, but I think that they were closed during the day. So
okay, well, here's the deal. Old Mr. Griggs. Bob, you ever eat there?
Yeah.
Bob Prinsky's in here. He ate there. How about you? Did you eat there? Nothing? Okay. Henry didn't eat there.
It's good. When we first moved to El Paso, that's where we used to go with the Griggs in the Upper Valley all the
time. It's a taste. It's a menu. It's a recipe group that has moved up Donovan Drive.
Yeah.
The guy who managed the store restaurant for Edgar Griggs was Pepe. He and his wife, Lorena, she was the cook. No wonder it tasted. And they bought the recipes off of Bridget Griggs. You know what else they bought? They bought some of the tables. They bought some of those old pump pianos that they used to have in Mr. Griggs' museum. He didn't get the guns. Griggs? He had guns all over the ceiling, taped up there so you couldn't reach them. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
But you got yourself a Pepe's there, Senor. Thank you for playing.
Thank you very much.
And thank
you
for listening.
You know what I remember? I remember one time they had a thing in the Civic Center that had a huge display of trains.
Wait a minute. Shelley, I'm on that line. I was on that line.
Oh.
Shelly, give me...
Hold on to him.
Stop punching buttons in there. Go ahead.
When they had this display of model trains in the Civic Center, and they had probably 100 people going on a big oval with their each of them with a little section of train. It was great.
Okay, you want to do something like that tomorrow afternoon about noon? You can go down and see the train display. How many train displays you guys have up down there? 6 or 7? 10? The pictures I saw on Facebook, you had trains running all over the place. Yeah, you can go see the trains now. I mean, these guys have it going on, Edward. So, anyway, enough of that. Shelley will come
on. Thank you very much.
Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick up this prize. Hold on. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. We need to take a break here, I think. This is another caller coming in here. Okay, let's take one more call. This is Cole. Cole, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I just want to tell you, my grandfather had a company called the Madera Company downtown in the 40s. And the Madera Company used those trains because he brought white pine in from Oregon, and then he would send it to Juarez to have it milled, and then bring it back into El Paso to sell it to construction companies. His name was Ralph Lowensfield. And one of those train tracks is still there, and it dead ends into what used to be his warehouse, and they used to stop him, and he's the reason that some of that traffic was stopped some of those days.
it was crazy what the trains did in those days. Well, thanks for ringing up with that story. I do appreciate it. All right, we're going to move on, take a break here, come back in a bit and talk more about trains in El Paso, how they were built into El Paso. Because, you know, when you're building a train track set across the country, you run into a few obstacles. And El Paso didn't have all those many, but it had some, so we'll talk about that. Call us up and or Facebook us.
El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, where I just posted our guest's picture, as well as some of the train models they brought in today. And they can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Road trip! That's what the winners of Bridgestone's Great Cowboy Tickets giveaway from Martin Tire are saying as they get ready to hit the road to see their Dallas Cowboys play next month in Arlington. There's plenty of time for more winners, and all you have to do is pick up your official entry form at any Martin Tire store. There's no purchase necessary. And while you're there, take a look at the Bridgestone Dueler HL422 Ecopia. If you've got an SUV or crossover, this may be the perfect all-season tire for you. Let the tire professionals at Martin Tire show you what made Martin Tire the Southwest's favorite tire dealer. So whether you're driving across town or across Texas, now is the perfect time for a set of 4 Bridgestone tires, and at prices that won't put a dent in the holiday budget. And don't forget to fill out an official entry form for your chance to win 2 tickets during Bridgestone's Great Cowboy Tickets giveaway, going on right now and only from your friends at Martin Tire. Hurry in today, because all good things come to an end, and this will too on November 30th. No purchase necessary. 1 entry per family. Ticket giveaway open to residents of New Mexico and West Texas. See store for details and official rules.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
If your car was hit by the recent hailstorm in El Paso, call Fixident and have the damage fixed fast. Fixident has over 20 years of experience and is the industry leader in paintless dent removal, carrying an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offering free mobile estimates and loaner cars. They'll come right to your home or work and take the hassle out of hail damage repair. Call 1-800-FIXIDENT now and put the inconvenience of the hailstorm behind you. Call 1-800-FIXIDENT now.
Can you read a tape measure and turn a screw? If so, you can install custom blinds. Hi, I'm Kyle Cox, owner of Blindster.com. And I'm so confident you can do it yourself, I guarantee your blinds will fit, even if you make a mistake in measuring. Backed by a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, our blinds are handcrafted, shipped free of charge, and delivered to your door in about 2 weeks. At prices starting at just $20.
Visit Blindster.com today and save 30% on any order. Just enter code RADIO at checkout. Blindster.com. Blinds.com. Blindster.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, good morning, everybody. We do have a very interesting morning going on. And out in northeast El Paso, there is a very unusual event that has been going on this morning. We have a live report out there from a young man by the name of Andrew J. Pohl. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm actually just leaving it right now because we're going to put it on ABC 7 a little bit later today, but I got to tell you, there were a lot of people out there, along with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, a lot of other local representatives and leaders, all talking about and now very focused on the preservation of Kasner Range. The focus and push right now is to try and get this through in the last few weeks of the Obama administration. And there's a lot of support out there that, having talked about this and known about this for years myself, I'm really surprised at how many people are really, really pushing for this right now. I mean, numbers getting thrown about 35,000 letters being sent to the White House, calls, emails, what have you, all in support of this. And there were a lot of people out there. That auditorium, if you've ever been out there to the ETCC campus out there, it was jam-packed full. They had to do overflow. So a lot of people coming out and making their voices heard and then speaking directly with, there was two members of the Bureau of Land Management out there who would be the possible agency that the land would be transferred to if it were to actually become a national monument, as well as a representative from the garrison commander of Fort Bliss, who's, I mean, very involved in this as well, Kasner Range being kind of their safety concern. So a lot of great people out there talking their support and all, just a lot of receptive people, and looking like it it was a very positive environment, I can tell you that.
Well, Andrew, I do thank you for ringing up with that. Casner Range has been something that's been on the mind of a lot of people, and the Frontera Land Alliance was actually formed to do this, and it looks like they're about to accomplish it if Obama can be convinced to sign the legislation or sign the executive order, really. Anything else out there to report? How's the day looking out there?
It's a beautiful day, actually a great view of Casner Range from out there, and I can tell you that there's a lot of people very hopeful that this can still happen, though. There is that kind of time crunch because no one's really sure how the incoming administration would really consider or deal with the thing. It's mostly an unknown, kind of the sentiment out there. So really want to push this through now. And I can also tell you, we'll have more coverage on that coming up on ABC7 and the Lawyer Newscast, so you can look for a full report there as well.
Andrew J. Polk, thanks for calling. Take care.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Bye-bye.
See you in the streets. That's a kid of mine, the only one I got.
Yeah.
And thank
you. Sandy has some more out there we don't know
about. That's all I know about.
Andrew,
thank you for doing that. All right, let's involve the rest of the family. Here you go. You ready? This week, only in El Paso, Inc.
You've got why the head of Borderplex Alliance says it's time to make sure the new administration really understands the border.
Also, in the Inc. inside the Western refining deal, what it meant for El Paso and why our geography helped close the deal.
And just the thing for your Thanksgiving dinner, Turkey Day Trivia, complete with answers.
Alrighty, El Paso Inc. is online at elpasoinc.com and available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
This Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, take a look at cyberbullying, how that affects you and the people in the borderland.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment, question, or you can do it via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts this Sunday's Extra at 10:30 p.m. only on ABC 7.
That'll be an interesting thing to see on Sunday night. All right. Thank you very much for that. And we're now back in the train, boys.
I think we need to make that a teletype. Let's do a teletype.
Well, it is their theme.
So what's a teletype?
Sort of like had their opinion thrown in. They thought the music would be good. So.
I know.
And
I'm
we
kidding.
Trade out. Did you see yourself this morning on ABC?
No. I'm still working on the computer or getting ready or feeding the dogs
but
or
the point
feeding
is
the mother-in-law.
We traded them a promo, so that's
I
how
know,
this works.
I know,
okay, we got the train, guys. Bob Prinsky's in here along with Henry Vasquez, and I have a question for the both of you. Somebody contacted me on Facebook during the week and said, oh, you got the model train guys coming in. Would they like to have a whole bunch of old magazines and train model vintage publications? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
Check it over here.
Model Railroad magazine, a monthly, from about 1934 to the present.
Oh, wow.
You have those?
In the library at the train club.
The question is, would you like a second copy?
I don't think so.
No,
it's
okay.
Like, where do you store them?
Well, that was the question I was asked during the week. The lady's going to throw them away.
I mean, donations are always welcome. I mean, it'd be a good idea just to look at them. There might be something there that's really useful.
Maybe some of the members would like.
Yeah, we'll see. Some of the earlier magazines actually are the conduit between model railroading and the toy train industry and how that articulated into a hobby.
Well, I had warned you this question was coming, but would you be interested in taking? You can throw them away then if you don't want them.
Yeah, there's always members. The last set of bunch, I remember we gave them to some of the younger members. We have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, so you know they'd be tickled, you know.
Okay, so the answer is yes. You'll take a donation of old stuff, and tomorrow would be a good time to bring them down to Vaughn. What's the name of? What's the address?
Vaughn Court.
And what's the address?
6335 Vaughn Court. It's between Delta and Alameda, just west of Ascarity Road.
Bob, tell me I can't miss it.
You can't miss
it. I can miss it, though. That's the problem. Go look it up on your computer.
And I did put it up on Facebook and the phone number for information if they want to call for the president of the club.
It was 751-6213.
All right, we have a call coming in here, apparently. We have several calls coming in here. What are they doing? Okay, there they go. Tell us more, some details, because one thing we told people you could tell us is how the trains built into El Paso. Did they come first from the west, first from the east? How did that happen?
They're kind of coming from all directions, actually. What happens before they get to El Paso, here's what happened. In 1880, you have the Atchison and Topeka and Santa Fe railways running towards Deming.
And, now, where are they coming from? They're coming from Chicago.
Right. They're coming from the north. And then as they're making their way south, you have the Southern Pacific that's coming from California. And then they, in 1880, in December, they meet in Deming, New Mexico. And so the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, they'll continue south towards Mexico. Here's one thing that happens too: while we're building our railroads, the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, actually the Santa Fe is helping finance and build the railway, the national railway system for Mexico. This is going on in 1880. So by 1881, when all the railways will converge here in El Paso, you'll have a line that's coming from southern Mexico. Luis Terrazas, which was the governor in the 1880s of Mexico, he's working with the railway, with the American Railway Company, to get the infrastructure for Chihuahua built.
Now, what was his? He was a cattle guy.
Yeah. Yes.
But also the Asarco people were pushing railroads out of Mexico.
Right. Because mining becomes a big factor in American industry.
Well, the map of the West is basically the train tracks went to the mines.
Exactly. Once the Atchison and Topeka line is built, you're going to have a lot of little mines that are going all across New Mexico. That's why there's so much, a lot of stories, a lot of folklore that's built off of those mines in New Mexico.
Well, let's talk about one over in Arizona, Bisbee.
Right.
You've got that. Well, I can't remember the name of the big hole in the ground, but it's got a fancy name. But that big mine was found, and immediately they put a railroad into El Paso.
Exactly.
And that railroad was on down Highway Number 9,
right,
which is now a parallel to the border between El Paso and, let's say, Columbus.
Right.
And there's a train station in the middle of the desert at Columbus with no connection to the rest of the world by track. To this day, right?
Right, because of the... And here's the thing. You're going to have a lot of lines. That's not only one, but there's several in New Mexico. You could buy... There's a lot of literature online on Amazon that talks about, you know, mines and mines of the Southwest. A lot of these books are out of print. But there's a lot of places where the rails go nowhere, but actually there was a mine. I mean, just, you know, going down the highway that goes towards what's called War Highway, going to White Sands,
right?
There's a mine out there, you know, that I remember seeing the remnants in the 80s. Now it's kind of covered up. So there's all kinds of Doña Ana. There was a big mining community up at Doña Ana. They were mining silver.
Oh, there's all kinds.
About 1900.
It's amazing how to watch the industry unfold as you go back and look at history, because everybody was follow the money, and the money was in the ground, and
right,
it was copper. And that's all that happened.
And then
that.
What starts happening right about the turn of the century is America is going from diesel-burning lamps kerosene-burning lamps. They're going from kerosene to a full electricity. They're electrifying their houses. With that, there's a great, great demand for copper.
It became big time.
Yes.
We got to take one more break. We're going to come back and talk about you guys and your open house, which is tomorrow. Not today, but tomorrow. Okay, we'll talk about that. Call us up if you think you should.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/radio and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/radio.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-900-4116. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-4116. That's 1-800-900-4116. 1-800-900-4116.
Did you know that identity theft goes beyond what you can see on a credit report and what your bank can alert you to? Identity thieves can open new accounts, rent or buy properties, drain your 401k, and even file fake tax returns, all in your name. And because identity theft goes beyond what you'd expect, LifeLock does more than credit monitoring to help protect your identity. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a whole range of identity threats. And if there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you can feel beyond good knowing someone is looking out for you. Join now and get 60 days risk-free plus 15% off when you use promo code SALE15 at LifeLock.com. That's 15% off just for using promo code SALE15. Offer ends December 31st. LifeLock.
Your forever friend is waiting for their forever home. News Radio 690 and the Humane Society of El Paso are finding homes for some of the most grateful rescues in the city. Log on to ktsmradio.com and enter the keyword pets to see adorable pictures of pets waiting for a new forever home. Forever Friends is brought to you by Pet Heroes Grooming, 6304 Edgemere near Geronimo and 5360 North Mesa. Helping find forever homes for forever friends. From the Humane Society of El Paso and News Radio 690.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got John on hold. We'll talk to him in a second. I got to tell you about a lecture by Adair Margo. She's doing the Notebook of Nancy Lee tomorrow, November 20th, 1 p.m. at the Centennial Museum on campus at UTEP. It's Tom's first wife was Nancy, and she did a bunch of stuff, and now they're looking at that part of Tom Lee's career as well. Give him a holler out there, 747-666.
And we got to thank a big thanks to Ray Baca with Monterey Asset Management for being a sponsor of the El Paso History Radio Show. Thank you so much, Ray. And a big shout to Barbara Givens-Bainey, and then all the others that work on the Remember in El Paso Win Facebook page.
A prolific poster.
I can't keep track of her. She's always sending me pictures.
But you go on Facebook to Remember in El Paso Win, or she's now posting on our stuff as well, the History Show. All right, we got a caller coming in here named John. John, good morning. Got you on the radio.
Morning, John.
Good morning. Just wanted to add, you talk about copper, railroads, and mines. Phelps Dodge Refinery in North Loop was built in 1929 in order to process that copper to refine it.
You still see those trucks coming down the road every day.
Yeah, I worked for Phelps Dodge for 35 years.
Well, now, when those big copper trucks come in, I've flown over them, but taken off of El Paso Airport, you can see flatbed after flatbed after flatbed of those old big chunks of copper out there. They process those there, right?
Oh, yeah. They run about, I don't know what they're doing today, but about 3 million pounds of copper through that refinery every day.
Isn't that amazing?
Those trucks you see.
3 million pounds a day?
Yep.
Wow. Well, thanks for letting us in on that.
That's the rod manufacturing to go to wire, yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking the call here. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
You take care. Boy, that's bizarre. A lot of copper there. But you're right. The copper is what drove the railroads to show up. So let's talk about this open house. It's tomorrow. It's noon to 5. You're doing this next week also on the 26th.
7th.
Okay. I missed a day there somewhere, Bob. Thank you for correcting me. But so your events are on the 20th and the 27th.
That's what's left this month.
What's going to be in the exhibit? We walk in the door. What happens?
You'll see a huge layout, probably covering over 100, a couple hundred square feet, 300, probably about 400, 500 square feet of nothing but HO trains.
And then the address again?
It's, go ahead, Bob.
6335 Vaughn Court.
See you there.
In the Lower Valley.
We're gone.
Oh, we do.
Thank
have
you.
A happy birthday to Troy Ainsworth, our hysterically, God. I mean, historical gentleman that calls in all the time.
EPHistory.com for details and for podcasts of this show. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in. We're done here. Appreciate it. See everybody next week on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.